Okay, God's comfort is our title today. I need to be closer. Okay. Then I can't see my notes. Why I came up with this subject? Well, in December, while I was preparing for Christmas and bringing in the new year and all that involved, I was reflecting back on our year of 2025. I was counting our blessings of all the good health and happiness my husband and I have had and our family. God had blessed us with a brand new great-granddaughter, even after much prayer and concerns, which we were so thankful for. He blessed us also with many meaningful times to be with our family and our friends, as well as many wonderful opportunities to serve our Lord in our ministries here at Grace Community Church. Yeah, I know a lot of you went to the Christmas party. But then for me, and maybe some of you, but only in a different way, it was somewhat of a difficult year. It seemed that I was surrounded with a large amount of grief. First, we had the terrible fires in our area that took several lives, as well as many who lost their homes and everything they owned, even families in our church. It was just devastating, and it was so hurtful to watch all that happening. And honestly, it's still going on. Then this past year, I had several family members and friends pass away. In fact, it was a total of 14. And all different age brackets. Our dear friend and friend to so many, Bert Michelson, who started Grace Church and even built the buildings, went to be with the Lord. My husband always referred to him as his favorite man. I think that's a great compliment. And men don't like to say, oh, he's such a great, you know, that was his favorite man. He was so kind to everybody. And, of course, our dear pastor, John MacArthur, who we all loved, he entered heaven as well. And we miss him. My husband and I had been under his teaching for almost 46 years. Then there was the news that Christian Charlie Kirk was killed. We all felt the grief of his sudden passing in that whole situation. I had three cousins pass away different times. One other cousin's wife died suddenly. One schoolmate's husband passed away. And five special close friends, including my sweet friend Jubilant Sykes, who ministered in music here since the 80s. He also used to come alongside in our girls' juvenile hall ministry at L.A. County Juvenile Hall and sing for the girls and share his testimony, and they loved it. And we passed out concert tickets to the staff because they wanted to come here at Jubilant, and they would come to the concerts. Although I cherish all the wonderful memories of these people, it seemed like every time I turned around, I was getting calls or texts that a loved one was being taken to heaven. By the way, based on their personal professions and their trust in salvation through Christ, they are all with the Savior in heaven. And that alone does bring comfort. Even though it became so difficult to grieve so many departing in such a short amount of time, I depended on God's faithful love and comfort to be able to get through each day, weeks, months. God was there with me and for me as I comforted others who were grieving and missing their loved ones. So I chose this topic not only for myself, because, you know, the teacher learns more, gets it more, but so that we could look more closely into God's comfort for all of us. The Bible is filled with God's promises, and together they're woven into a beautiful tapestry depicting his goodness. Among the greatness of all the threads is the promise of God's comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, we learn that he is the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort. Likewise, in Hebrews 13, 5, the author reminds us of the Lord's pledge, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. We are not alone in this life, left to muddle through it as best we can. We have a loving Heavenly Father who walks alongside us through it all. That means that no matter what you're facing in life, whether it's a financial crisis, a health scare, strained relationships, or everyday hardships, God is your refuge and strength, able to protect and console you no matter what, Psalm 46:1. He understands your pain and fear, your anger and doubt, and he is sufficient to care for you and aid you through even the darkest seasons of life. Amen. So we'll start with God's comfort. Because of our broken condition and human limitations, we often view God in a partial or distorted way. For instance, some people see him mainly as a harsh judge who condemns, while others think he's more like a doting grandfather who lovingly overlooks their sin. Neither view is totally accurate because neither reflects the whole truth of Scripture. The Lord's condemnation of sinners and his love for humanity are both essential to his nature and are not at odds with each other. He hates sin while at the same time loving the people he created. God describes himself to Moses as compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, Exodus 34:6. However, he also adds, yet he will no by means leave the guilty unpunished. That was verse 7. The Lord cares for us enough to reveal himself in his word, to send his son to pay the penalty for our sins, to offer forgiveness through faith, and to make all who trust in Christ his beloved children. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28. God's comfort awaits everyone who turns from sin and comes to Jesus for salvation. God's comfort awaits everyone who turns from sin and comes to Jesus for salvation. So right from the beginning, you have God's comfort. An English dictionary defines comfort as a state of mind in which there is ease from suffering, sorrow, or despair. But the meaning of the word in the New Testament is much richer. The Greek word means to come alongside, to give encouragement, to help, consolation, or exhortation. And that's exactly what God does for those who belong to him. First, the Lord comforts us as a loving father. Although God is good in some ways to all people, Matthew 5:45, those who are in Christ have entered into special relationship with him as his sons and daughters, Galatians 3:26. When the Apostle Paul was going through severe affliction, he wrote, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. And that, again, is 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. This was no small hardship for Paul either. He was experiencing crushing pressures and at one point was so excessively burdened beyond his strength that he despised his life. He despised living. Yet in the midst of desperation, he was comforted by his Heavenly Father, and he will do the same for us, no matter how bad, stressful, painful our situation is. We have a Heavenly Father who understands and cares. He comes alongside to walk with us and carries us through. No one else can console us like the Lord, because he alone knows us perfectly. When I was a small child, I remember taking naps. When I was like 3-4 years old, I would have to take a nap every day, and I liked my naps, so I was okay with that. But when I woke up, I would walk out to the living room knowing that my mother would be out there. And I would go up to her, and she'd hold out her arms, and she'd say, "Did you wake up?" And I'd climb up in her lap, and she would hug me and help me wake up, so to speak, and snuggle me. And this just reminded me of our Heavenly Father, who knows us perfectly and who we know that we could go to and be comforted. And I was comforted that way as a child, and I ended up doing that with my own children. So just wanted to share that. Second, God comforts us with His Spirit. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within every believer in John 14:16. He is aptly called the Comforter or the Helper. Although we may experience seasons of loneliness, in reality, we are never alone. The Spirit is continually with us, reminding us of truth so we can see our troubles from a heavenly perspective. He restores our hope when we are near despair, encourages us to endure hardships when we want to give up, and gives us the strength we need to keep going. Even the death of a loved one, the Comforter can overshadow with an awareness of God's grace and compassion. Next, the Lord comforts us with His word. The psalmist wrote, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." Psalm 119:50. When our feelings overwhelm us and our faith begins to falter, we can stand on the fact of Scripture as our sure foundation. Won't move. It's our foundation. This is especially important if we are going through suffering, great need, or seemingly insurmountable difficulties. That's why it's so essential to read and meditate on God's word regularly. If we don't know what the Bible says, it can't give us the guidance and comfort we need in time of trouble. But when we become familiar with Scripture, the Holy Spirit can bring to mind a verse or a passage that sustains and encourages us with God's truth in the midst of our distress. And I'm sure you've all experienced that, where the Scripture will just pop into your head and you feel comforted. Fourth, God comforts us in all our afflictions, not just some of them. 2 Corinthians 1:4, even if our trouble is caused by our own sinful choices, the Lord comes to our aid because his comfort includes admonishment. We must not forget his exhortation that is addressed to us as his children in Hebrews 12:5. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. The only way to find relief from the turmoil of the soul caused by sin is to come back to our Heavenly Father in repentance and receive restoration, and that alone will bring comfort." Where do you see comfort? Those without Christ look to the promises and pleasures of this life, but these things can only bring temporary relief. As believers, our first response should be come to the Heavenly Father in prayer, casting all our cares on Him because He cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. He is the only one who can give us eternal comfort and hope, and even if our challenging situations don't change, we still go to Him. Now, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to go to comforting others. When Jesus began His earthly ministry, He also focused on people. I'm a people person, so I can understand that. Wherever He went, He ministered to those with physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. So doesn't it make sense that our priority should be people as well? As believers, we are called to build up each other. Thessalonians 5:11. and bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Yes, many Christians have developed a sponge attitude. They go to church and attend Bible studies, soaking it all in spiritually, all the spiritual truths, yet they never squeeze anything out onto others. God's word should change us and in turn affect others as we minister to them. If we're not careful, we can go through life with blinders on, forgetting that people around us are suffering or hurting or have concerns. Some Christians are quickly to claim, well, I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy, so this just doesn't apply to me. Well, that's like saying I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I'm not going to talk about Jesus, right? No. But believers aren't exempt from the responsibility of spiritual practices. And all of God's children should be growing in these areas. If we're going to learn to be empathetic, we must see other situations from their perspective and feel their emotions. Hurting people recognize whether our attempts to comfort are genuine care that flows from an understanding heart or merely shallow words. We recognize how Jesus could minister with true compassion. After all, he's God. But how in the world are ordinary people supposed to reach out the way God did? First, acknowledge the value of suffering. One of the Lord's most surprising and effective ways of developing empathy is through suffering. The Bible says God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it kind of goes in a circle. Although no one enjoys going through difficult pain, who better empathizes with a hurting person than someone who has walked through a dark valley and come out on the other side? Because we've shared a similar painful experiences, we can assure others that the Lord is sufficient in every situation. All of us who desire to be used by God must submit to brokenness and recognize that ease, comfort, and pleasure aren't God's only plans for our life. He saved us to minister to others. As God doesn't save us to sit on our blessed assurance and not reach out and not help other people. But becoming more empathetic is an integral part of the calling. I'm going to share with you a conversation that I had many years ago. I'm old. We had a situation in our family and with a family member. And it was not good. And I was really struggling with it. And I went to one of my best friends, and I shared with her the situation. And she could see how distraught I was. And she said something that just really reached out to me. She said, "Linda, I've been through the same situation." And I didn't know that. And she helped me through it, helped me to get to how to handle it. And the outcome was beautiful. Everything came out, everything has turned out wonderful. So I was so thankful for that, having that friend, you know, that had gone through that. And then a few years ago, I was out on the campus here at Grace Church, and there wasn't a lot of people out on the patio out there, and I walked by a gal that I know, and that has been going here for a long time, her and her husband. I knew her, But we weren't close friends. We were acquaintances, and we saw each other, and how are you, and how's it going, whatever, and just always a smile and a hug, maybe, and that was about it. And we started talking. I started talking to her, and she started to share some things with me, and I could see she was very distraught. And she was kind of dancing around the subject, and finally I said, I think I know what you're going to tell me, because she was very upset about struggles with a family member. I said, I think I know what you're going to tell me. She said, you do? And I said, yeah. And she shared the situation with me. And I says, you know, I've been there. I've been through this situation. And this is how we handled it. And this is how I would suggest that you handle it. And I talked to her about it for a little while. And we ended up, you know, hugging. And then we saw each other now and then. How's it going? Well, it's okay, you know. And just hang in there. Keep praying, you know, this and that. Like my friend did for me. And now I see the joy in that family. How God worked it all together for good, like he did for me. And I was so thankful and so filled with joy that God could use me. I hardly ever talked to this girl. Ran into her on campus. She poured her heart out. We need to be there, ladies. We need to be there. So let's move on. Recognize when others are in need. If we're going to be effective in expressing empathy, we must first recognize the emotional and spiritual condition of those we're trying to help. As we walk in the Spirit, living in submission to his authority and being in tune with his still small voice, he'll give us the spiritual discernment to view people as their situations come from God's perspective. The Holy Spirit will also touch our emotions, giving us compassion for the hurting and love for the unlovable. So we have no excuse not to respond to someone who needs comfort or encouragement. No excuse. We need to be there. Part of seeing people as God's view, as God views them, is recognizing their potential. When Christ looks at a person, he saw not only the one standing before him, but also the one he or she could potentially be and become. For example, when Jesus met Peter, the fisherman, he saw a leader of his church. He recognized that Saul, the persecutor, would one day become the evangelistic missionary. That's why we should never label anyone as hopeless. At times, we just know that someone sees their potential can lift people out of despair, motivate them to become a mighty force in the kingdom of God. So we not only need to listen and be compassionate, but we need to be that force that can bring them to the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, to be a force. So that's how we should view people, as God does, how God views them. Then we need to reach out to help. In order to build up and encourage others, we need to reach out to them personally. Too often we try to connect distantly or conveniently through text messages, emails, or even phone calls. I think we're all guilty of that. But nothing can replace the effectiveness of face-to-face personal interaction. Only then can we see body language and facial expressions that reveal what's truly going on in someone's heart. When Jesus reached out to meet people's needs, he connected on three levels. Mentally, by assessing their condition. Emotionally, by showing compassion, and physically, by alleviating their suffering and doing what we can. So then we need to be ready to give. Next, we must be prepared to meet the needs of those who are going through difficulties. Now, this is what God calls us to do. This is why he saved us, right? However, this requires great spiritual discernment because the most obvious need may not be the most important one. It seems as if the compassionate response would be to alleviate their pain or help them get out of a bad situation. But sometimes God has a purpose to work out in their lives through the trial. So we can't try to fix people. When Jesus was in the country with his disciples, he met a demon-possessed man whose appearance and behavior might have seemed like the major problem. That's all in Luke 8, verses 26 to 35. He was naked, covered in wounds, screaming wildly. Sounds like my neighborhood nowadays. If Jesus had told his disciples to attend the man's immediate needs by quickly clothing him, asking him to sit down quietly to eat a meal and talk about what's bothering him, there would have been chaos. What's worse, the man would have stayed in his desperate condition. But Jesus met him at the point of his deepest need, spiritual deliverance. After he cast out the demons, everything else fell in place. Like Christ, we have to remember that our good intentions to make people feel better may actually get in the way. But we can't go wrong when we help them with their spiritual needs. Now, there needs to be a balance in this area because obviously we do want to help people and care for people. But it depends on the situation. You can minister to others' needs, but the goal has to be spiritual condition first. Lastly, make use of difficulties. We've all experienced situations where our needs have been so overwhelming that the only thing we could do was ask for help. But that's not where God wants us to stay. Once we've moved through the suffering and received his comfort, he wants us to become comforters to others, thereby completing the cycle. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. After helping a person walk through a dark valley, the next step is to challenge him to use that suffering to help someone else. That's what Jesus did after delivering the demon-possessed man. He told him, "Return to your house and tell them what great things God has done for you. Go and tell and honor and give God the glory." And that's Luke 8:39. Investing in others' lives is not easy, and on occasion it can be quite costly. It requires time and emotional energy. But Christ has given us a promise in Luke 6:38. "Give it and it will be given unto you." That verse just isn't speaking about money. The Lord will multiply whatever you give in service to him. If you sacrifice your time to help someone, he'll give you adequate time for whatever else you need to do. If ministering to someone leaves you emotionally exhausted, he promises renewal. Giving ourselves away to others is not a life of deprivation, but one of spiritual growth, joy, and fulfillment. So let's sum this up with these words. Never take God's greatness for granted, as it's a source of comfort for all who take refuge in him. The Lord is immeasurable beyond us in all ways, yet he says, "I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. Isaiah 57:15. If you're a Christian, he is your refuge, sustainer, and protector. Comfort and strength for life comes as you dwell on God's amazing attributes. He is omnipresent, Psalm 139:7-12. Even when you feel isolated or friendless, you're not alone. In fact, after placing trust in Jesus, you've never been apart from God for so much as a single moment. placing your trust in Jesus, you've never been apart from God for so much as a single moment. He's there with you always. We forget that, don't we? God's understanding is infinite, Psalm 147:5. He knows everything, including your feelings and needs. You may not understand what's going on in your life, but the Lord knows, and He will give you the strength and guidance you need. The Lord never changes, Malachi 3:6. Since His character is constant, you can always trust that He will be faithful, gracious, and merciful to you in every single situation. When we recall the greatness of God and meditate on His attributes, our problems become smaller and the Lord becomes greater, and His comfort surrounds and sustains us. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, our wonderful Comforter, our wonderful Encourager, our wonderful Sustainer, we love You, Lord, and we are so thankful that You are there for us every single moment, no matter where we are, what we do, even when we're asleep, You're there with us. We can always come to You, our Heavenly Father, because You know us perfectly, and that brings comfort. Lord, I pray today that if there's anyone here that is suffering, that is hurting, that we can reach out, that You will put it in the hearts of the ladies to be mindful of those things and to be willing to not just overlook it, but to reach out. And if in need, to ask for help. And Lord, I'm thankful that You don't leave us in situations, that You get us through the situations. That too brings comfort, Your comfort. And Lord, I pray for this year, 2026, that You have blessed us with, that You will guide us and direct us and help us to be better women after Your own heart, Lord Jesus. And we ask this in Your special name, Jesus Christ. Amen.